Okay, nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. This is Ed Swinelby. My name is Charles from New York City. And I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listener set. As heard on the N2ROW Lake Computer System every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for all those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. We cover all the frequencies that you can tune into, DC all the way up to light, and everything else in between except for amateur radio. And that's because we can talk about that topic at any other time during the week. So on this net, we talk about who's on these different frequencies, what equipment you would need to tune them in, what's available as far as sources of information, external pieces of peripheral equipment, and any changes that may be coming along down the line. We have some basic ground rules for this net. One, the first thing you should do is check out the website for this computer system by going to www.ed2row.net. On there you will see a list of all the repeaters on this system. Pick the one that's closest to where you are and use that to get in. This way you can ensure that you have the best signal possible. As you're checking in, we ask that you give your call sign, name, and location, and please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. And by traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you want to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, as you check in, please say no traffic. This way, we can move on to the next person. If you can't get into the repeater system, either because of distance, technical difficulties, or you may not have your amateur radio license yet, you can still post your question or comment by sending an email. And the email address for this net is nydxa@yahoo.com. So at this point, we'll stand by for check-in. We need to space it out so we let everybody check in without stepping on each other. This is S1LB.
2GLW. We'll target. No traffic at the moment. No email on the account at the moment.
2NOV.
But you see no traffic. 2GLW, and I will have traffic.
2NOV, this is WA20KZ, Ken Cranford, no traffic.
That's 2NOV. Here is WB2KZ, Steve, picked up by Adrian, PYU, no traffic.
QKS, Frank of Brooklyn, no traffic, just listening in. I might have some traffic later though.
Okay, so far we have K2GLW, WA2SQQ, WB2SDT, WA2OKZ, WB2KTB, and KC2QKF. Please remember that this is a linked repeater system, so you have to key up for a second or two before you start talking. Otherwise, the beginning part of your transmission gets cut off. Anybody else?
N2NYW, no traffic.
Charlie Romeo, Jim in Aberdeen, no traffic.
Okay, I've got N2NYW and N2SDR. There are a couple of doubles out there, so space out a little bit, try it again.
N2NOV, this is Kilo Charles Hughes,
Sierra, beautiful Romeo.
Now,
Jamaica Queen, no traffic.
LKL, we got you out there in Jamaica, KCQ as you are. Anyone else? Okay, we'll go with this list as we have it. Again, if you're not able to get in, use the email. The email address is nycxa@yahoo.com. And Bob, somebody interested, you will be checking it periodically. Okay, we got a little short nip tonight, I guess. And of course, I'm sure from a couple of private emails I've gotten over the past few days, two questions coming up. One, what should I be listening to because the Pope is coming to New York City? And two, what's going on with the new UHF New York City truck repeater system? Well, as far as the Pope is concerned, as has been mentioned in a couple of the message boards, that Scandal is pretty good at posting some of his comments and a few others out there, so just check with the basics. You're going to have some citywide police frequencies in operation, probably citywide 1 and 2. Maybe I heard from one person saying that Detective 2 would be used. Typical highway patrol stuff for closing down roads, especially as the entourage is coming in from JFK Airport. As far as the fence are concerned, it's been mentioned that the U.S. Secret Service is providing the security, but do not discount the State Department's Diplomatic Security Service up on UHF. There might be a couple of things with the FBI Special Operations Group, SWAT teams, on VHF. I guarantee that there will be a lot of APCO 25, most likely encrypted transmissions. And as has been mentioned by one individual, most of the federal stuff is kind of boring anyway, even if you can hear it, because they talk code. And that you get a lot more information listening to the local police frequencies. Also, don't discount listening to the different frequencies for the news organizations, especially if they have helicopters. Between their helicopter reports and their IFB circuits, of reporters out in the field, you'll get little tidbits which will fill you in on what's going on. If you're lucky enough, like some people that I know personally, who live along the route for various movements back and forth by dignitaries, they can just see from their own apartments, put their scanners into, listen to the simplex attack frequencies. There's an incident once where somebody and heard one of the ESU SWAT teams on attack frequency talking to each other, and when he looked out his window, we saw them on the different rooftops. So don't be afraid to search around. You may stumble across something that you were never expecting. On the second topic, with the UHF trunked radio system, a few months ago, we mentioned that it looks like anywhere between April and August is when they should be coming alive with the system. Well, that's getting a tip-off that the City of New York requested the FCC to update and change their license for these frequencies. I checked out the FCC website, read the details, copied down the information, and had up an email listing the 28 frequencies. The request to the FCC was, one, to change the modulation from 11K3 to 6K25, basically 6.25 kilohertz. So they're going with a really narrow FM separator. Now the frequencies that I sent out the email correspond to the frequencies on the page on my website, which is the future FDNY frequencies, the ones that have the T in the column, T for trunk. What was speculation seems to be proving itself out. Also, the request of the FCC last week was that they be allowed to start testing these frequencies as of April 14th. Well, April 14th was Monday. And sure enough, when I listened to it yesterday, last night, and again throughout the day today, there are certain frequencies which are keying up, and some of them have CWIDs. The handful of frequencies that I was able to hear key-ups on, 483.36875 is the first one. Remember, this is 6.25 kHz step rate. So to hear it cleanly, you need to have a scanner that will suit those step rates. That has 781. Neither will 250. You have to go for the newer ones. Alright, next one I heard was 482.76875. 482.24875. 482.99375. 482.36875. 482.31875. 482.11875. And 483.39375. Interesting how they all end in 75. I'm sure more will be coming live as they continue doing their testing, but this is a quick grouping just to give you an idea of what's going on out there. No voices yet, just key up CWID so far.
CC2MMC Lake Chicken.
What was that call sign again?
Kilo Charlie 2, Mike Mike Charlie, Lake Chicken, Terry, Orange, New Jersey.
Okay, Terry. You cut off the beginning of your call sign before. Okay, WSJC2, do you have anything to email here tonight? And one of the...
Hey, Charlie. No, I have nothing in email, but I do have one frequency of interest. Maybe Ben down in Union or any stations south of Union down that way would be of interest on this. And that is the new Metrofire Southern system. A few of the guys on Metrofire claim that they can key this thing with a handy talkie from Totowa. I haven't been out in Totowa. I can tell you that from my part of Bergen County, it's very weak up here. I can hear it, but I don't see how it's getting the coverage up north that they're saying. I mean, I have it on my Diamond, that big 20-watt-foot antenna. I don't know, what is it, 8, 9 dB again? And it's at 60 feet, and... I'm getting about an S2 on the repeater up here. But nevertheless, if you're down in Union and all, you will definitely be able to hear it. And it covers actually quite a bit of southern Jersey. So the frequency is 472.0875 with a PL of 151.4. Again, 472.0875, PL 151.4. And you can take a listen on there. It's pretty active. It sounds okay, but as I say, in this part of Bergen County, it's very weak. Take a listen, and Charlie, you shouldn't have any problem being over on the other side of the water. It's down in the Tin Falls area is where the repeater is. Back to you, Charlie.
Well, some of the weaker signals from Ocean and Monmouth counties I get shielded from because of something called Toad Hill, I'm on the North Shore set now.
Okay. All right, well, Ken, if he's down here in Cranford, I'm sure he'll hear it. You know, take a listen, and it's a good repeater, good group. So I don't think you'll have any problems with that. The other thing I was asking Board Charlie, and I don't know if you have it on the webpage or not, but aside from the Metro fire photographers and Metro fire radio and citywide, I'm just wondering if you know of any websites that have a list of all those groups, you know, be they in New York City or New Jersey or Connecticut or whatever. A few people have asked and said, is there one list that takes in everything, you know, all of them in one site? I don't know of any. I mean, I've got some of them here, but nothing all put together.
Something has a list of all the bus groups?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't see that listed in any one particular place. We just have to file it ourselves, I guess. I mean, I've got some stuff in my notes, but I'm sure I'm missing the thing.
I do have one other thing I'd like to mention in there. I sent it to you, Charlie. Hang on one second, please. Did you receive the email I sent you today, Charlie, about HBL?
About HBO? No.
HBO, as in movies and the movie channel. Okay. Found this out purely by accident. I stumbled upon it. About 2 weeks ago, HBO started using copy protection on most of their cable channel, most of their feeds. Now, not all equipment and not all cable systems are passing the information. What they do is, in line 20 and line 21, there are what they call copy protection flags. And what they allow for is copy one-time viewing. For example, if you have a DVD recorder with a hard drive in it, you can copy a show to the hard drive, okay, and you can watch it. But if you wanted to burn a hard copy onto DVD, you can't do it. Now, what's interesting about this is with the testing that I've been doing on Cablevision, for example, if you try using a VCR, a lot of the movies will not copy. And what happens is the device will give you a message that it's copy protected. Now, it gets a little more interesting. The copy protection scheme is in their signal. However, not all cable boxes or set-top boxes or satellite receivers pass the information. So, for example, if you're a Cablevision subscriber, I can tell you that more than likely, you know, if you have a DVD recorder or something, you're not going to be able to burn it directly to a DVD. You can't do it anymore. I tried it with Fios, and Fios is not passing it, as well as some of the satellite receivers. So I don't know exactly where it's going to pan out, but the bottom line is that they're now going to try restricting you from copying premium programming. Now, what's interesting about this is that the copy protection is basically line 20 and line 21, which is closed caption. So I've been fiddling around with it already, and it's fairly easy to strip line 20 and 21, which would mean you would lose closed caption. But when you lose closed caption, you would theoretically lose copy protection. So perhaps in the next few months you're going to see magic little boxes popping up again. I didn't know if you were aware of it. I actually have a copy of the press release, which was originally announced in 2004, but they're just starting to implement it. And 210VWA TrustQ.
No, I didn't hear any recent news about it. I remember years ago reading about different things that were in the different lines of the signal. Like you said, closed captioning and teletext and things like that. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that we're going to see some boxes popping up that'll do that. That was also along the lines of macrovision encoding on protected videotapes back in the 80s and early 90s.
Macrovision actually played around with the video AGC level, and that was not anything. But this is interesting because DVD recorders, which are quite popular right now, since day one, have been required to honor this technology. So it's always been there, and I discovered it purely by accident. A very good friend of mine who retired called me up, and in our conversation, he said, "Yeah, it's a shame what HBO is doing." I said, "What are you talking about?" And then when I started looking into it, I found out that it probably was true. And the reason that it didn't set off any bells and whistles is that a lot of people figured, well, it's copy protection. It's bound to happen. So they're really not calling the manufacturers, and, it really hasn't hit the fan yet. But I was looking at some of the raw video today. I've got a piece of equipment at work where I can look at each line of video and what's on it. And sure enough, on line 20 and 21, there's the copy protection. So it could there's basically three levels. There's no protection, there's one copy, and then there's no copy. Same as digital audio tape, if anybody played with that about 10 years ago. It's the same levels of protection.
Well, that just lends itself to a very simple device to just ignore that one piece of data and pass along the rest.
Well, not quite that easy, because you got to remember now, if it's a DVD recorder, you have a tuner in there, so there's really no way to put that box, in the signal path. In a device, what you'd actually have to do would be to have a separate source of signal and do it that way. The bottom line is, I'm sure somebody's going to come up with a way around it, but, the cable rates go up, and what I think is really fueling this is if you look at HBO, you look at most of the series that are on there, they wind up selling these eventually as a DVD box set, and I think that's probably what's behind it. They'd rather sell you their DVDs than you're making your own.
Yeah, that's probably I wouldn't doubt it. Okay, anything else with email, Bob?
Yeah, take it up and I'm going to check email here again, Charlie.
Time now is 9:24. Let's stand by for any additional check-ins or any comments or questions. This is N2 OB with the shortwave and scanner listeners then.
Kilo 3, India Tango Golf, let's late check-in.
Okay, I've got K3ITG. Anybody else? Okay, K3ITG. Why don't you introduce yourself to the group? Let us know what kind of thing you like to listen to on the shortwave scanner band.
Well, I was just checking in to support the net there and found that thing about the video thing with the copyright protection. Rather interesting. So just wanted to let you know I was here listening. Kilo 3, India Tango Golf, name here is Mark, and I'm an over-the-road truck driver and on my way up into Connecticut, but first I got to get some fuel so I don't run out. I'll back to net control. Very interesting about that copyright protection thing. K3ITG.
Okay, Mark. Well, I understand about the over-the-road stuff. Sounds like this is just a regular route for you. So, this net is on every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. So, please jump in anytime. Okay. Is anybody else checking in? Bobby, anything else in the email?
Just to check in. Joe from Wallington checking in.
Okay. Hi, this is Joe from Wallington. Got to get Joe on the air.
W-A-2-C-D-L.
Okay, it sounds like W-A-2-C-D-L. Did I get that right?
Yes. Commercial driver's license. Later on, I'll make some comments. W-A-2-C-D-L. The name is Andy.
Okay, I think, well, you can make the comment now. There's nobody else in traffic right now.
Okay, I wanted to, you to mention the frequencies that you mentioned before, the 482 frequencies of the 6.25 KC spacing for this new trucking system you're talking about. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's the UHF trunking system the city's putting together. It is 28 frequencies total in the system, and the latest FCC change to their license, they changed it all to 6.25 kilohertz spacing.
Okay. What is this trunking system serves, what agency is this for?
Well, we don't have a definitive list yet, but what's been talked about is that this is going to be a system that will have the first responder type of agencies, at least their executive groups. You know, regular PD and fire department will stay conventional. PD with their UHF channels. Fire department will move up to UHF conventional channels. But you have things like, let's say, OEM, the executive groups for sanitation, DEP, you know, all the different agencies that would have to talk to each other during an emergency. I'm sure there'll be other things on there, but this is what it seems to be targeted to. And this system is supposed to have the capability not only for analog and outgoing 25 digital, that means that also some of the stuff could be encrypted digital as well. So right now they're just doing key ups and testing for transmitters.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say outgoing 25 because that's part of the upgrade. With this ultra narrow band channel spacing of 6.25 KC, what would be the maximum deviation that would be allowed on a digital system in the analog mode? Not in the digital mode, but the analog mode. Did they list that?
And I'm sure there's a spec somewhere, but I think it's about 2.5 KC. Basically, it's the same width as FRS. If you ever tried to listen to an FRS handheld while you're listening on GMRS radio on the same frequency, let's say, it sounds softer. Okay, the bandwidth is narrower. But the receivers that are made to listen to it take that into account. So while the fidelity is not going to be there, it's wide enough for voice.
Right. Okay. I understand that. Okay. All right. I just wanted to just wanted to get a clarification on that with those frequencies. I happen to work in one of the radio shops that services the one of the agencies in the city, and we're working on that project.
Okay, well, then you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this information's on the internet. I guess that's where you got it from, is that right?
I got it right from the FCC.
Okay, is that listed on the internet?
Yeah, go to the FCC's webpage under the Uniform Licensing System. And let's see, these frequencies fall under three different call signs. WQFH 243, WPPU 442, and WPPU 560. Yeah, it's all part of that application. Yeah, if you just read it and pull out the details. Yeah, it's not that hard to figure out.
Okay, yeah, all right, I understand that. I don't mean to be deceiving, I just wanted to find out the information that has been listed regarding this interoperability that the city's been pushing for with these agencies, you know, especially like you say, these first responders to operate on a system. Because eventually, you know, everything's going to go digital anyway. In fact, you know, we use encrypted right now on some of the frequencies that we have set up, and we have like 60 different frequencies right now that we're using. Most of them are analog, but there are a few that are digital, and then on top of that, encrypted digital. So, okay, it's a good idea. As long as the FCC gives the right spacing for everything, there won't be any interactions, because right now there's you know, there's some interactions going on that has to be resolved. That's what we're working on. All right, appreciate the offer.
Yeah, no problem. Have you ever seen some of the pages on my website? That's what will be done then.
No, I haven't. I haven't listened to the this particular scan in it at all. Usually this time, especially on Wednesdays, I'm tied up, but I just happen to be scanning around on a scanner myself, and I stopped here. But I could find out. I could look it up. The call is N2NOV, is that right?
Yep, that's right, Andy. Some of these things we've been hearing bits and pieces about for almost 10 years now, ever since CB switched over to the current system. And 99, 2000, 2001, different bits and pieces were coming up that they were pushing in this direction. And then, of course, 9/11 happened, and that just, you know, caused everybody to think in this interoperability bug. Which, when you really think about it, what is interoperability? You have my frequency, I have yours, and we just dial to it. What's the big deal? But, you know, they want to spend money, they want to make everything digital and, you know, super fancy and spend lots of money on it. So that's their choice, I guess. But a lot of this has been coming along, and we've just been copying down, you know, notes and comparing things and looking at patterns and picking up little news stories here and there and what's being issued by the FCC, and, you know, it's like putting pieces of a puzzle together.
Okay, I think your name is Charlie. Okay, fine. Yeah, I know, because going back to the 90s, we put the new system in, and which is currently being used now, and then, like you say, 9/11 occurred, and you know, things changed around, and then that's the way it is right now. I'm actually involved with some other projects as well with in the city. But it's a good idea to have the interoperability for sure. I'm not sure what, the only thing I don't know is what Motorola is making now regarding digital. The Quantor is what we use as a digital space station. And, but that's on the digital side. And then you get the analog MSF radios, repeaters, space stations, and so on, which you probably know about. Okay. Thank you for the information, and interesting net. Thank you, Charlie, WHCDL. I'll look you up on the web also. Thanks.
Okay, Eddie, no problem. Now, feel free to drop me an email. The email address out on the webpage. There are two things I forgot to mention earlier, which is not really part of the trunk system, but there were a couple of the frequencies that popped up, which got me scratching my head. And they're both located here on Staten Island. 44.0875 and 44.8375. Now, what I was reading was that they're doing some kind of testing with these two frequencies, but I had them listed as NDT, you know, the mobile data terminals for the Staten Island Peace Precinct. So I'm wondering if they're changing that or just rolling out additional facilities.
If you want to do that question.
Fine, throw that out to anybody. If you want to comment, go ahead.
Yeah, the VHF low band, I'm not sure what they're doing right now. I don't always talk about it, but I'm not involved on that end of the low band on the VHF side, only the UHF.
These are UHF frequencies, 484.
Oh, okay, 484, okay. Okay, I gotta look that up also.
Yeah, I have my notes, NDT 29 and NDT 32 were the original designators.
Hey, and you see that Staten Island, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I could find out, but I don't know right now.
Yeah, I know when the Times came out with their article on the MDTs back in, I think it was 99, they explained a lot of how the concept was to pan itself out. And sure enough, you know, people started reporting hearing, I think it was 19K signals on various frequencies and spotted them out. But they might be changing around. Not that it does us any good. Change the code anyway.
Yeah, at least it was. Okay, alright, pick up the other station. And I could find that information out through the shop anyway. Alright, thanks. I'll be listening to WHCDL.
Okay,
Andy.
And mentioning the shop. I had somebody from the shop send me an email a number of years ago thanking me for the stuff on my website because it helped them program the radio or something. Really interesting. Okay, have a good one, Andy. Who's that, Mark, M-I-Q-O?
Yeah, I finally managed to drag my backside to the radio. And then, of course, someone's in the wrong band, and then I had the wrong PL tone, and it's been a nightmare, M-I-Q-O.
With all those radios that you have? Mark, what's the latest on the DRM stuff? I know you updated a few things on your website, discovered some things. You know, want to describe to the group what's happening? And what of it?
Okay. Well, what has been happening? Well, of course, we're in summertime now, or rather on summertime schedule. So an awful lot of DRM broadcasts that were aimed at us here in the US have been dropped, for example. no more RNW, no more TDF, both of which were from the Caribbean. They're gone until the end of the summer. At least we assume until the end of the summer. You know, obviously the winter broadcast schedules haven't come out yet, but we're assuming that you know, they haven't just abandoned the transmission. I think what else we got? I modified yet another radio. So this time a Fox Tango 840. Well, you might remember that as a, I guess, late 80s, early 90s vintage. It was the forerunner to the 847. Yes, that's ringing a bell. I had to think about that then. it required the addition of an FM board. Remember, back in those days, your HF rig didn't come with an FM board. So, it required the addition of an FM board. The reason for that was because, as most of you probably are aware, I've got an HF rig of any sort. A 455K IF is commonly not found in your radio. If you've got anything older than about a 10-year-old HF rig, you've probably got an 8-change IF in there. And so the addition of an FM board created a 455K IF, which of course just about all of the standard FM demodulator chips would require. So it required the addition of that and a board. If anybody's at all interested in that, you can circle onto my website, look at the DRM pages, 7LTT.com/DRM. And one of the links there will take you to that photo essay there about how I did it and so on. Let me drop it. N920. Okay. We did that. And that works. One of the things that I don't know why I've only just realized this, but how long have I been doing this DRM stuff now? It's got to be 4 or 5 years. And it's, for some strange reason, I have suddenly come to the realization that, of course, what I'm actually doing is software-defined radio. I don't know why, it just hasn't dawned on me until now. With the DRM mod, all you do is you convert your 455 IF into a 12 kHz IF. And that's, at a frequency that is usable by your PC sound card. Okay, well, what's an SDR? It's exactly that. It's a front-end radio that feeds a wide-ish bandwidth IF up to the PC for later processing by software. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, I have all the mods done. There are a number of radios in the chat here. So I've been playing with SDR last week or so. Came across a package called, hang on a minute, let me get the call sign right, G8. G8JCF SDR, and it's basically a software radio. So you feed it with the IF from your receiver, and you've got a whole bunch of buttons. You can select the modes and the filters, and if you've got a serial interface up to the rig, then you can change the frequency and stuff like that. So as you tune the knob, either on in the software or on the radio, it will keep track and stuff. The advantage, of course, is that certainly for HF broadcast and utility listening, is that you have the power of a much better DSP in your PC sound card than you do in your radio, if you've got DSP in the radio at all. So theoretically, it could bring new life to to those Boatanker radios that people have got kicking around. The one with the receiver that they swear by, but is pretty no good for modern radio reception. So it becomes quite easy to do. Software is free. The converter is relatively cheap. You can source them for about $25, or of course you can build your own. And it's been fun, that's for sure. NI2O.
Now, this DRM stuff, Mark, we hear a lot what's going on in Europe, as far as now they've got a couple of long-wave stations doing it, and a bunch of AM broadcast stations, and even some new allocation around 26 megs. Is that really moving forward, and why aren't we doing it here?
I'll answer the last one first. I've got no idea why we're not doing it here. I think it's a number of things, but mainly market forces, or rather a particular market force. And, as far as Europe goes, well, you know, some broadcasters are picking it up and some are abandoning it. One of the things I find interesting is that the BBC recently issued a paper saying that they were going to bail on VRM. They weren't going to bother progressing it. And they started two or three new tests. In addition to which, they've just become the president and chairman, if you will, of the VRM consortium. That's a two-year position that each of the VRM members can apply to become. And, it's the BBC's turn now, so, if they're going to bail on VRM, then why have they become the chairman and president? Why have they allowed the VRM project to move into their offices in Bush House? Why have they, there's a whole bunch of confusing stuff. Meanwhile, you've got other people like, for example, Deutsche Welle, like Bayern Rundfunk, like a bunch of the universities. The Germans seem to be going out to hammer and tongs. They think it's, the great white hope, I guess. They've got all sorts of broadcasts going on, a whole bunch of medium wave stuff, including some data-only stations. There's a lot of people over there seem to think that it's the way forward. Charlie said, they're doing it on long wave. Sometimes over here you can hear it, used to be able to hear a station called Atlantic 252 on long wave. I can't hear it around here because on 254 I've got the local aircraft beacon, which is just down the street from me in Chatham. So I'm not going to hear that ever, but they've now got DRN there on a test basis. There's a couple of other long wave stations. There's a bunch of medium wave stations that have it. And I'm also finding that increasingly there's more shortwave stations coming out of Europe that have it. But recent baggings for me, again, you can pick all this up off my DRM website. Let me drop it. So recent baggings for me has been, today was Radio Romania, which actually came out of the Kvitsoy transmitter over in Norway. That was aimed primarily in the UK. They've got a funny triangular-shaped street at Curtin antenna up there. I've been to that site. I bagged that today. I bagged CEC from Chile. Again, aimed at Europe. HCJB has been on the air with DRM, again, aimed at Europe. What else did I bag? In the mornings lately I've been having Deutsche Welle on 13810. That comes in from a little bit before dawn, or it's decodable for me rather, from a little bit before dawn through to the end of their broadcast, which is about 10, 11 o'clock our time. And that's rock solid. Again, an Arabic station comes in. It's all kind of European source stuff, and all aimed at Europe, but picking it up off the back. But if you head off to my DRM page, you'll see a link there to my reception report, because with DRM, unlike the old days of QSLing, where you would write out your card and you would send it away, and then eventually you get another card back saying yes or no, and maybe a little good bag, you've got a screen in front of you that actually tells you what you're listening to, and maybe some other stuff, so you can just grab a screen grab of that. So, and of course, if you wanted to QSL, you could still do that. and most of the stations do it by email these days, so you just attach your screen grab of their station. And there's proof of the pudding. It's right there on the thing. So, you know, so I've been using those screen captures as a form of QSL, and in some cases audio files too. But yeah, take a swarm through there. There's a bunch of stations that I've been picking up recently. I haven't updated it with Radio Romania this morning, but I might get around to that later on this evening. But the point is, there's a whole bunch out there. Most of it's European source, and I'm also picking up RNZI from New Zealand. And that has absolutely got to be the furthest CON station that I can think of, and more than that, the largest land path, which of course, as we know, is you know, going to get in the way of most things. So Chivela from Sines in Portugal, of course, is an all-sea path, so straight off the back of their curtain, so you know, I'm not too surprised that I'm picking that one up. NI2R.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mark. We'll go up and get some good updates on this.
Yeah, DRM.
Thanks. The shortwave broadcast is going to go from squeals and scratches and fading signals to something that sounds coming out of the FM radio. These extra things to boot. Sometimes it downloads text or picture. Build it in the data stream. Not bad. That's making good use of the spectrum. Okay. Bob, anything else in email before we start wrapping it up?
So one more DRM, I just had a thought.
Been quiet on this front. There you go.
Okay, Bob. Go ahead, Mark.
Thoughts.
Mark, go ahead.
WBCQ, remember those guys? Up there in Maine. 7415 9330 15, can't remember. I guess you just acquired the RM transmitter software and tool. So look out for them appearing on DRM on a weird and wonderful frequency near you. NI2R.
BCQ, huh? Okay. Finally hits the U.S., sort of. Okay. Anybody last minute check-in or comment before we wrap it up? This is N12B. Okay. Hearing nothing, we'll say 7-3 to everyone, and we'll catch you here next week. Enjoy the warm weather we're experiencing the past few days. You got a portable shortwave radio. Go sit out in the backyard, set up the sun, and listen to something coming for us in the other part of the world. 7-3, and 20 will be clear.